Yes, we are having a party back here in the WRTI Performance Studio. I'm here with composer David Ludwig, poet Katie Ford, members of Prism Sax Quartet, members of Pifero, the Renaissance Band, and soprano Hyana Yu. We are all here because they are giving us a preview of David's new work called The Anchoress, which is a song cycle and a monodrama. And Katie Ford, it all started with your poetry.
Yes, I suppose that's true. I began writing about 5 years ago poems spoken from the perspective of an anchoress. An anchoress is a religious recluse who has made the decision to become enclosed in a cell for her whole life. And the enclosure is where she experiences the rest of her life as a spiritual mystic and theologian and a practitioner of prayer cycles and rituals. She does have windows, one window out to the world, which she keeps covered very carefully, actually. But people can come speak to her to get spiritual advice or wisdom. And she also has a little window called a squint where she sees into the sanctuary so she can partake in the mass. So she's attached in a cell to a church, a sanctuary. Her cell is called an anchor hold, and she becomes the anchor of the church. And my interest was in the kind of authority that these women had religiously, because it's so rare in Christian history for a woman to have a voice like this.
And this is a practice that took place from early Christianity through the time of Shakespeare, I understand, or up to the time of Shakespeare.
Correct. It evolved out of the desert fathers living as hermits in the desert, and then, but this is a more extreme form, and the enclosure actually protects the anchoress also. She's walled in, it's not only a door. So she's bricked in, and she's considered dead to the world. They do a funeral rite when she's enclosed. So she's practicing death on behalf of others to bring back that wisdom to the world.
Okay, now David, what drew you to this, and could you describe what drew you to this orchestration?
Well, you know, hearing Katie speak about it, it's so compelling. It's kind of like, what wouldn't draw me to that as a composer? All of the topics and issues it brings up, certainly gender issues, but also issues of withdrawal from society and seclusion and isolation, alienation, things that are very relevant today. And there's a political aspect about it that was very interesting to me. But Katie and I have worked together before, and something I love about her work is that it brings together the ancient and the new, and in a very contemporary voice, but referring throughout history to many things and a religious aspect. So to me, this is the musical expression of that, combining the saxophones, who are in many ways the most modern instrument that we have in concert music, with this incredible Renaissance band of ancient musicians. Musicians are not ancient. The instruments are ancient, just to be clear. These historically informed instruments, very fascinating to me as a composer.
So could you introduce the first song we will hear?
Absolutely. This is the fourth song of the eight songs of the piece, The Anchoress. This is the four burns of the soul, or the first words of Katie, and with Hyana and the entire ensemble.
Great, thank you.
Thinly and unbearably so.
If you're just joining us, you are hearing music played live in the WRTI Performance Studio. That was Pifero, the Renaissance Band, Prism Quartet, and Hyana Yu, soprano, singing selections from David Ludwig's The Anchoress. Hyana, why don't you join me? What is it like to sing this role? This is a role of the thoughts of a woman who is in this little cell-like place, who is regarded as a spiritual guide, but she lives her whole life in this space.
Well, actually, when I first got it, I was quite moved, and it's the concept is so foreign, but I think of the women choosing sort of death, the spiritual women, but still choosing death because of the powerlessness, I guess, of the society. And I always try to find the relevance in what I do, and I've been very lucky with David and Katie and this incredible instrumentalist and musicians to sort of combine that and find the relevance as a woman. But as a person, you know, how does this music, do these words apply to my life and the people around me, and try to find actually hope from all these misunderstandings of religious, in the name of religion, name of God, we do, you know, incredible things that's not so great for each other. But to find somehow the form of unity through this music, so it's a privilege.
Oh, it's very moving. Thank you. And one ensemble in the group is the Prism Quartet. Matt Levy, would you come up here for a minute? Would you introduce the members of your group?
Sure. We have Ali Wright on soprano saxophone, Zachary Sheeman on alto, and Tamar Sullivan on baritone.
So a saxophone quartet with a Renaissance band, they seem like very different kinds of instruments, but we were talking earlier and you mentioned that you've been thinking about this for a while.
Actually, 15 to 20 years ago, I started going to Pifero concerts and got to know their directors, Bob and Joan, quite well, and just fell in love with their sound and their instruments and kind of dark, moody, kind of idiosyncratic quality to them. You know, we think of modern instruments as having evolved from these early instruments, but they have their own beauty and sound world that I think is unto itself. So I was very attracted to that. And I think the idea of a consort of saxophones is very much a part of the idea of a consort of shams or recorders or all the things that they sort of do. So we had been thinking about for years how we could possibly collaborate. And eventually I became friends with David Ludwig and fell in love with his music. He wrote a piece for Prism called Josquin Microludes that will be on the concert tomorrow. And we realized this is the person, the planets are aligning, and David is really the perfect person to create a piece. And he expressed interest in working with two ensembles together.
That's great. So, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure.
David.
Yes.
Now, this song cycle, we just heard one song, and we're about to hear another. Can you describe what we're hearing now?
So the last song featured the recorders of the ensemble. This is more reed-based, so we have sackbuts, though they do go to recorders as well. This second song is a little more rhythmic, and it alternates between more rhythmic music as Hyana, as the anchoress, is telling a story about a woman coming to consult with her, and slower music where the woman who's coming to speak to the anchoress is asking a question, and that question is that with her life as difficult as it is and her own physical ailments that she's seeking some remedy or help with, how can we think about Christ having a body and what Christ went through? So it's the imagery is very, it's provocative, and it's very vivid, actually. And so the music kind of goes in and out of those spaces. And we hear a little bit of sounds that might have been more common in the 14th century as well in the harmonies of the ensemble.
Fascinating. We look forward to it.
Silence.
Wow, that was wonderful. That was so dramatic. If you're just joining us, we are in the WRTI Performance Studio hearing live music. That was Hyana Yu, members of Pifaro, the Renaissance Band, and Prism Quartet playing from selections from The Anchoress by David Ludwig, text by Katie Ford. And if you have a Facebook, access to Facebook, go on Facebook, because it's great to listen to this, but it's really amazing to see all of these musicians clustered around playing together, and you can see them nodding to each other and studying each other while they're playing. It really is chamber music of wonderful sort. And Joan, would you come up here? Pifaro, this is a wonderful assemblage you have here. Why don't you tell us what everyone is playing and introduce the members of the group.
Sure. Well, telling me what everybody's playing is a little complicated because we're all playing varieties of instruments. Over here is Priscilla Herod on various reeds and recorders, Greg Ingalls on recorders, crumhorns and sackbut, and Eric Schmaltz on the same instruments. Over here, Bob Wemkin on a variety of very large recorders and dulcians.
Right. There's one, his recorder back there is a bit, looks a bit like about 7 feet tall. It looks like something.
It's taller than he is, that's for sure. And it's one of those instruments that doesn't have a great big bang for its buck because it's quite quiet. But it is very awesome to look at, as you can see there.
And you mentioned a sackbut.
Yes, the sackbuts over here that Greg and Eric played are the predecessors of the modern trombone. Oh. Actually, very little change from to their modern counterparts.
Cool. Well, how did you all get involved in this project?
Well, as Matt said, Matt has known us for years, and we've known the Prism Quartet, and we just think that the sound of the instruments, I mean, the saxophone quartet, actually, if we were playing all dulcians, for example, which are the early predecessors of the bassoon, is a lovely, sort of a same kind of dark color that they can get also. And so we've talked a long time about how we could collaborate together, and this seems to be the perfect opportunity.
Wow. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And David. So this woman is in this place, the Anchor Hold, is that right?
Yes.
The Anchor Hold, and we've been listening to her thoughts. What comes up next?
Well, in the previous one, we heard her questioning the resurrection, which is something I understand that one does not do in 1400 in Europe. And so the anchoress warns the woman who's consulting with her, don't do this. Don't question. Katie writes somewhere else that we're in the time of burnings, right? That there's severe punishment for questioning. In Katie's text, there's some areas that have been redacted. I thought these were parts that were kind of that deteriorated over time, like in the poetry of Sappho, how we have fragments. But Katie told me later that they've been redacted by the authority of the church.
Would you come up? Would you say something about that?
Here, I'll switch.
Okay.
Do-si-do.
Yes. These gaps in the text that you could imagine actually the papyrus has eroded, but also very likely this anchoress, because she's saying things that are quite subversive, her writings then, before they would have been given out to the public later or put into print, have been edited, things have been taken out. So the moments where she's about to say something that is perhaps the most unorthodox, you have an ellipsis in the text with brackets. We have redactions even today, you know, documents that come down from our government, and they're very harrowing, one recent example is the Bybee memos, the torture memos, that have enormous black spaces redacted out. And so kind of into those places, you are asked to imagine what worse, for instance, is our government doing? And in terms of the anchoress, what might she be saying that is intriguing and also subversive and not in keeping with the teachings of the church?
Well, she was regarded as a living saint. So did people respect what she said and thought, or was she being censored?
Well, in these texts, there's a kind of censorship, but she's not censored when people would come to her because it's a, you know, one-on-one. She does have a confessor who is her kind of spiritual advisor. The texts I've read, the confessor, though, seems to be rather compassionate toward the anchoress, not a kind of authoritarian figure. But of course, there were hundreds of anchoresses, so every one of them and every confessor is different. And of course, there were unwise anchoresses, you know?
just like today, right?
Not we have very good ones. So.
So we'd like to get to the next piece,
yes,
as well. What is the next piece about?
Right, so the next piece is really, for me, reading it was a political statement, which is effectively, you know, if someone comes to you and says, God told me to do this, God told me to commit violence or create war, don't be so sure that the anchoress is questioning all of the terrible acts, as Katie is saying, questioning those done in the name of God, because for her that doesn't jibe. And so the way I've said it, you hear the saxophones doubling with these wonderful instruments called crumb horns, which are behind us, to create a very kind of strident sound, because the message is a strident message. It's a call to action almost, for me at least. And you'll hear the drum having a kind of martial military sound to it. And the rest of it is Hyuna singing and speaking alone and conveying this text, because there is a feeling of solitude as well with it, as being one voice expressing a very strong viewpoint.
Great, thank you. Great. Very dramatic. Now I know what a monodrama is. David and Katie, why don't you come up here? David, one of the things I read when I was reading about this work was that you were interested in the difference between a life of contemplation and meditation like this and the life that most of us lead today.
Yeah, certainly the notion of seclusion and long time and the quiet and silence and solitude is something I think many of us seek. There's a kind of frenetic quality to all of our lives as we bounce around between the digital world and the world we live in. But this is, of course, very extreme, what the anchoress does, what she has chosen to do. So as I'm setting the text and thinking about her life, some aspects are actually very compelling, and I feel like speaks to us in modern society very, very clearly, very well, and that's all through Katie's words.
So what was your takeaway, Katie, hearing your words put to music this way?
Well, I think as a writer, you never, you're in your own solitary cell, which is a desk, but you don't imagine how your work will reach someone or not reach someone. You're just really writing what you're compelled to write. So for this to occur is not something I had imagined, and I never, when I've worked with David before, I have no expectation of what it might sound like because I don't hear music when I'm writing these words. So it's a really kind of beautiful surprise and honor just to be surrounded by these musicians.
Well, congratulations to both of you and to all of you. This work will premiere tomorrow at the Kimmel Center as sponsored by the Chamber Music Society. The Philadelphia Chamber.
Chamber Music Society,
Chamber
yes.
Music Society, right.
Yeah, the piece itself is supported by the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage a lot. And very appreciative of that. And then we're being presented by the Philadelphia Chamber Music Society at the Kimmel Center at 7:30. How's that sound? Does that sound right? Okay, I'm getting nods. I should know when my piece is being. And it's a concert of most all of my music, all pieces tied together. Either there's one piece that's a setting of Katie's words. Pifuro is playing the saxophone quartet that Matt mentioned. And then we'll have an on-stage panel discussion with a very good friend of ours, Nathan Walker, Reverend Nathan Walker. And then we'll hear The Anchoress. So that's tomorrow. And then the next day, we'll be in New York at the Demena Center at 8 o'clock to do it all over again. And then we're going to record it on the 19th. So it will become a commercially available recording.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come to the WRTI Performance Studio. Thank you all for coming. It has been great listening to you. And congratulations.
Thank you so much, Susan.